practice where people take so much attraction towards tantric practices, the possibilities of using hatred on the path. And in the sutra practice, there is no occasion and opportunity to use hatred on the path. So it is a unique feature of the tantric paths in which we are able to use even hatred on the path. So this is a good indication. Normally Tibetans regard Chinese as hot-tempered. So you can now use this opportunity to get really wrathful and fight each other. Next is giving a handful of water, and this is also to represent purifying the defilements of your body, speech, mind. The mantra that is recited here says that by nature everything is pure, and it is because of this natural purity of everything that our temporary defilements can be purified, and this is symbolized by the water which will be distributed. Next is distribution of kusha grass to examine your dream. We'll get two kusha grasses, a longer one and a shorter one. If you get just one, doesn't matter, you can split it into two. And the shorter kusha grass is to put under the pillow, and the longer kusha grass you should put it under your mattress when you go to sleep tonight. Next is distributing the protective thread or thread for protection. This thread for protection normally is tied on the left hand as a secret substance. But what is really important is not to lose it. Or perhaps it will be better to either put it in your pocket or tie it around your neck. Otherwise, when you pull your sleeve up and down, you might throw the protective thread. It's developing joy or enthusiasm. You found this precious human life, met the precious Buddha's teaching, and you met both the sutric and tantric teachings, and I'm really fortunate And since I'm so fortunate, it is really important for me to make this human life meaningful. And it is through this kind of realization that you develop some strong sense of appreciation, joy, and enthusiasm. This completes the preparation of the initiation. Mega mandala offering. Put the longer kusha grass under your mattress and the shorter kusha grass under your pillow. And tonight when you go to sleep, try to develop good motivation, like reflecting on bodhicitta, remembering the lama and the deity, or reflect on other virtuous subjects. Repeat this mantra. Om Benza Amida Kundale Hanana Hongbe. Om Benza Amida Kundale Hanana Hongbe. Om Benza Amida Kundale Hanana Hongbe. So tonight when you go to sleep, you should recite this mantra. Om Vajra Amrita Kundale Hanana Hongbe. Bhuji Jose Medota Rera Lange Nindi Jambande Sanje Shindo Migdeb Rogu Nanda Shindo Jibo Ejo Enda. Next second point deals with the individual explanation of the stages of the action tantra and behavior tantra. This has two divisions. The first division is explanation of the general summary explanation of the path. This is explained in the text called Samten Chima, where it says those who want to undertake the practice of the tantra should undertake the practice in three sessions, and then they should be able to develop the necessary concentrations. So in the deity yoga practice, as explained here in this text, it speaks about 10 types of practices. So there are 10 branches which one must practice. The first point deals with the place where you should undertake such a practice, and the second deals with the suchness of the self. Third, suchness of the knowledge mantra. And fourth, suchness of recitation of mantra. Fifth, abiding in fire. Sixth, abiding in sound. And seventh, granting of liberation at the end of sound. And then the rituals by which one enters into the tantric practice. And ninth is the ritual of fire offerings. And the tenth is the ritual of conferring initiations. The three, that is the knowledge mantra, etc., are the concentration of the four branches. And the next three are the next three refers to the three suchnesses. So these two becomes the main path. And the one after that refers to what kind of ritual one should practice before undertaking the practice of cultivation of the two concentrations. And the ritual practices that you should perform in the conclusion of the practice of those concentrations. And conferment of initiation is for making the student a suitable disciple of the path, to enable him meditate on that path. And the practice of fire offering is undertaken during the time of the practice and when you perform certain activities. And it is based on such practices you empower yourself, and then you are able to perform different activities, and through these different activities you are able to accomplish your path to achieve enlightenment. And then the next explanation is found in the general tantra of action tantra. With regard to the general tantras of the action tantra, there are four. The first tantra is called the question of the Subahu Tantra, which speaks about different types of lineages, the lineage of the Buddha, Vajra lineage, lotus lineage, and it also speaks about the Panchika lineage, the lineage possessing the wealth, the worldly lineage. These three lineages, lineage of Tathagata, Vajra and Lotus lineage, these are transcendental lineages. And the subsequent lineages, the Panchika lineage, the lineage of the wealthy, the worldly lineage. So these three are the worldly lineage. So it speaks about a total of six types of lineages, three which are transcendental and three which are mundane. And therefore this tantric text explains about the practice of the sacred tantra, different classes of action, and the process of pleasing the deity. So these topics are clearly explained, which are not so clearly explained in other tantric texts. So it explains more about different types of sadhanas. And it also touches those points which are not touched at all in other tantras. And similarly, in most of other tantras, action tantras, it does not speak clearly about the four branch concentrations and the three concentration of suchness and so forth. These are also explained here. And similarly, the remaining of the rituals for achieving tantra and also the different host of activities. The second general action tantra is called the general tantra. It speaks about 3,000 different types of mandalas in relation to three lineages. 3,500 mandalas in relation to three lineages, and it speaks about how to prepare or paint these mandalas, and the rituals by which one can confer initiations in relation to these deities and mandalas. And the third tantra, action tantra, is called Susiddhi Tantra. There it does not explain clearly about the six concentrations, but it speaks about the rituals, the common rituals of the three lineages by which one can achieve certain mantras, and similarly the host of activities, and likewise fire offering and the commitments that one must guard. And then the fourth is subsequent concentration or Samdhin Chima. This speaks about the six types of concentrations, and particularly the binding of vital energy, which is the branch of concentration. And so it speaks about the three types of subsequent concentrations very clearly. And if one is able to know the presentation of these different types, then you will also be able to know how the different topics dealt in individual action tantras and also in behavior tantras, how one could categorize them in different sections. So all these different topics that is being dealt here can be categorized into four major sections or classes. The first topic relates to the process of conferring initiation, which makes the student a suitable disciple for meditating on the path. And then the second topic deals with the process of guarding the vows and pledges, which are the foundation of actualizing attainment. And then the third deals with undertaking divine approximation or undertaking retreat in order to strengthen those powers. And then the fourth topic deals with the process of achieving the necessary accomplishments for oneself and for others. And of course it deals with so many subtle topics that it is really difficult to explain all of them. If among you there are some who has a lot of time, then you should really have a relaxed time and read the explanations found in different tantric commentaries, in the translated words of the Buddha and the translated commentaries to the sutras. So therefore there are many sadhanas which are related to the action tantra and the charya tantra. However, Tsongkhapa primarily follows the explanation of the Buddha Guha and Varabodhi, which Tsongkhapa says that their explanation accords to what is explained or taught in the two types of tantras. And when we talk about the worldly lineage, it could also include certain process of propitiating certain nagas or gods. These nagas and gods are maybe those who are existing at the time of the Buddha, and so they have their own certain processes of the nagas or gods who have fed to the Buddha, and who through the permission of the Buddha, that if you propitiate some of these gods, then it is possible to actualize certain peaceful activities. And then in the case where some of these gods and nagas, when they themselves do not have the capacity to help you achieve certain accomplishments, they can then, even in that case, they could act as a messenger bringing our request to higher gods and deities, or gods in the transcendental state, and then seek their help, guidance, and blessings. The three lineages of general tantra, the second action tantra, also refers to the Buddha lineage of Tathagata and so forth. So there it speaks about 350 different types of lineages. So that tantra primarily speaks about how to prepare a student as a suitable disciple for the action tantra. The six types of concentrations which is taught in the Sucidi Tantra refers to the three suchnesses and the three concentrations. The concentration abiding in fire, abiding in sound, and granting liberation at the end of the sound. And in the fourth action tantra called subsequent concentration, it speaks about how to control the flow of energy and so forth. So this process of categorizing all the different subjects into four main subjects is the way Tsongkhapa concludes or summarizes the subject matters. So therefore Tsongkhapa summarizes the subject matters related to the action tantra into four main subjects. Subjects related to conferring initiation, subjects related to observing vows and pledges, and subjects related to undertaking retreat, and subjects related to actualizing accomplishments. Next second point deals with the actual explanation of the stages of the path. This is explained under two subdivisions. The first division explains about the stages of the part of the Action Tantra. This is explained under four outlines. The first outline deals with the preparation of the student as a suitable follower for meditating on the path of Action Tantra. And here Tsongkhapa says that since the Sanskrit word for initiation is called Abhishek. It has different meanings, many different meanings, but basically initiation means to empower you, to enable you, or to give you the permission to hear, think, and meditate on Tantra. So giving permission here is not just giving verbal permission, saying that go ahead. But it is really giving permission in the sense of, first of all, activating the potential of your body, speech, and mind in undertaking the Tantra practice. And it is in this way that you are empowered. So that is the meaning of giving the initiation or empowerment. Wang means actually power. And Wang Kurwa is to give the power or to empower. And in this outline, Tsongkhapa says that since the subject matter related to conferring the initiation and the rites of the mandala are so much that I'm not going to explain that here because it will be too much. And he also says that the process of entering the mandala and process of conferring the initiation after having entered the mandala in accordance with the two first classes of Tantra are explained in my commentary to root and secondary infractions. And when we talk about receiving the tantric blessings, then the blessing has to be transferred within one's mind from another living master, and the blessing should be received kind of continuously or uninterruptedly, passing through one living master to another living master and so forth. So it is in this way that the blessing is received through from a living teacher or living master. The vows that are taught in the Vinaya, then the vow must be received from the Lama. And in the case of Bodhisattva vow, if you are able to receive it from a Lama, it is well and good. Otherwise, you can receive it from an image. And in the case of Tantric vows, it must be received from a Lama. Therefore, in the Vajrayana vehicle, the process of relating to the spiritual master or Lama should be more profound than the process of relating to Lama as is explained in the sutra. Therefore, in most of the if it is particularly if it is a complete tantric practice or rite, then irrespective of whether the word Guru Yoga is used or not, but before performing the actual rite, one should see the Lama and the deity as inseparable, and then one should make offerings or purify negative deeds and accumulate merit through the 7 or 8 branch practices. So that indeed is the real Guru Yoga practice. In the case of the student and the practitioner, as we discussed earlier, that the student should intentionally stop the appearance of appearance and feeling of ordinariness, and then intentionally generate oneself into the form of a deity. So this being the case, it is not really proper and suitable to imagine oneself as a deity and then see the Lama as an ordinary person. So therefore, it is necessary to visualize the Lama as the actual Buddha or indivisible from the principal deity of the mandala. So there, it is because of this, whatever kind of deity yoga practice you perform, you see the deity in the entity of Lama, or in other words, you see the Lama and the deity as of same entity and as inseparable. And therefore, since you need to maintain this divine pride, and it is important to meditate and see one's own mind and the Lama as of same entity. When we talk about Guru Yoga, it means that one here the actual meaning of Guru Yoga here is to merge oneself into the nature of a Lama or deity, and to actualize the qualities and actualize the state of realizations and the state of abandonment of negative emotions equal to the level of the Lama. The object to be accomplished or actualized is the state of Buddhahood, which refers to the form, body, and so forth. So therefore, the method to actualize that should also be one similar to the aspect of the resultant state. And we had discussed about that earlier. And by now, in order to actualize a resultant state where there is total merge of one's body and mind with the body mind and speech of the Lama, right now on the stage of the path, it is important to see one's body, speech, and mind as of same entity to the three secret body, speech, and mind of the Lama. He mentions that when you undertake the tantric practice, then the process of related to your spiritual master may be much more stronger than as was explained in the sutric teachings. Since in this way Lama is so important, in reality, the Lama should be fully qualified. And it is not enough that the Lama externally looks good. And it is because of this, in the tantric teaching, it explains about the necessary qualifications of the Lama who confers the initiation. So therefore, in all the four classes of Tantra, it speaks about the necessary qualifications of the Vajra Master. So at the best, the Lama should fulfill all the qualities or qualifications, or at least the Lama should fulfill the important qualifications. In this way, in the since proper relation to the Lama is so important in the Vajrayana vehicle, how should one view the Lama? And in the Tantric text it says that one should view the Lama as one would view the Vajradhara himself. For example, out of the four classes of Tantra, the main is the Anuttara Yoga Tantra. Anuttara Yoga Tantra speaks about four initiations, vast initiation, secret initiation, wisdom initiation, and world initiation. And so, if the Lama is someone who is able to confer all the four initiations based on his own experience, and particularly the Lama is someone who is able to confer the fourth initiation, the word initiation, that means if the Lama is someone who is able to clearly explain the meaning of union based on his own experience, then that definitely means the Lama is fully enlightened being. Because unless one is fully enlightened being, there is no way one can explain the meaning of union based on one's own experience. So therefore, the main Vajra Master must be a fully enlightened being. So in the case of the ordinary Vajra Masters, they may not be completely enlightened, but if you see them as the actual Vajradhara, actual Buddha, there is more benefit and there is no harm. It is because of these reasons that when we study about how to relate to a spiritual master, as it's explained in the stages of the path, then there also it speaks about seeing the Lama as the Buddha, because the purpose of Lamrim teaching is to gradually guide the students to the higher paths, particularly the paths taught in the Tantra. And it is because of this, right in the beginning, when it speaks about how to maintain a relationship with the teacher, it speaks about seeing the Lama as the Buddha, as the enlightened person. And for example, if it is someone who so my feeling is that if the student is someone whose mental capacity is such that he or she will be able to undertake the practice related only to the small stages of the path and not beyond that, then I think it is not necessary for that person to see the Lama as the manifestation of Buddha. And of course, if one sees the Lama as the Buddha, there is no harm, but I don't think it is necessary. However, when the whole purpose is to gradually lead the student to tantric path, then it's important for that person to see the Lama as manifestation of the Vajradhara or Buddha. So such a qualified master, when confers the initiation, it is done based on mandala. And there are different types of mandalas. the best is mandala prepared from scent particles, colored scent, and then mandalas drawn on cloth. And then for specific followers, then the initiation could also be conferred based on mandala of concentration. In the case of the student who is receiving the initiation, as we discussed earlier, his mind should be influenced by the development of bodhicitta, the development of view of emptiness, at best based on one's own experience, or at least one should have genuine appreciation of these qualities and should have a wish to develop these qualities. And with regard to the initiation that is being conferred in the case of action tantra, what is absolutely necessary is two types of initiations, water initiation and crown initiation. Necessary because the water initiation is to leave an imprint to actualize dharmakaya, and the crown initiation is conferred to leave an imprint to actualize the form body of the Buddha, symbolized primarily by the Buddha's crown and so forth. So in short, these two initiations, by conferring these two initiations, they leave an imprint to actualize dharmakaya and rupakaya as the resultant state. By conferring water initiation, it leaves an imprint to actualize dharmakaya. How does it leave an imprint to actualize dharmakaya? What is the main cause that is responsible for actualizing dharmakaya is the yoga of signlessness. And out of the three concentrations, it is the last concentration which is called granting liberation at the end of the sound, which is the cause for actualizing the dharmakaya. And it is this, and in the case of actualization, so therefore it is the water initiation which empowers you to meditate on the yoga of signlessness. And it is the conferment of the crown initiation which empowers you to meditate on the yoga of sign, which is the main path for responsible for actualizing the rupakaya. The need to have two yogas, the yoga with sign and yoga without sign, is dependent on the union of the appearance and emptiness. So by perceiving the state of emptiness, one is able to actualize the yoga of signlessness, and by seeing the appearance of dependent relation from the state of emptiness, one is able to undertake the yoga with sign. And these, all these practices are related to the practice and development of bodhicitta. And then the second point deals with observing pure vows and pledges after becoming a fit or proper follower or disciple. What kind of vows one should receive during the conferment of the initiation, and what are the root infractions? These are explained in detail in my commentary to root and secondary infractions. So therefore here I will not explain those, and I will explain here other types of pledges and commitments. Action Tantra and Charya Tantra, there is no receiving of tantric vow, and also there is no explanation of Vajra Master as is understood above the above the Yoga Tantra. However, there are certain pledges that one must guard, and these are explained here. Quotations here are from a text called Classifying the Stages of Discipline of Knowledge Tantra, composed by Susiddhi. And then it says, so here in this tantric text it says,